Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents Not Another True Crime Podcast. It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special emergency bonus episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast.
I know. I really feel like it's right now. It's like when you're watching like The Price is Right, but then like ABC cuts through to be like, we have to interrupt your regularly scheduled programming for an update. That's what we're doing.
Seriously, there are so many updates. I feel like, you know, we've been putting it on the story, Not Another True Crime on Instagram, but I mean, we just have to talk about it. My mom was texting me about these updates because she watches the Today Show. So I was like, all right, got to get Danny on the mic. We got to do this.
We're doing this up on a Thursday, we're filming live because we got to update about Scott Peterson.
Yeah, I feel like there's so much happening in the true crime world. Two cases that we have covered before, Scott Peterson and Crystal Rogers both have some big updates. Scott Peterson is a bit of a doozy. Crystal Rogers, we might be sort of careening towards an end.
I think so. I feel like it's kind of,
And I remember that we had talked about her case, but we didn't remember that it was hers. But remember, we were like, oh, there was a brother at the grandma's farm and it was raining. That was this, that was that case.
Oh my God. Yes. With the car.
Yeah.
The white car. Yes.
Yes. The white car. I know. It's like, I feel like if we're ever interviewed by police, I will throw out like, I don't know. My brain will just jumble like a million useless facts and then maybe one good one.
This is also why we don't work for the FBI. Cause I'm like, no, there was a white car. Excuse me. And they're like, please go home. Okay.
And they're like, no, that was somebody else. And they're like, truly. So let's talk about Scott Peterson first. That was the one that my mom was texting me about, obviously. Yes. I feel like the weird thing about Scott Peterson is I sort of remember as it was unfolding, and I really do remember how staunchly anti-Scott the entire country was.
He was hated more than Scott Disick, literally.
Yes. So we are recording this on Thursday. So hopefully by the time this comes out, our information isn't, you know, out of date.
Outdated.
Unless they solve Crystal Rogers' murder, in which case, please don't wait for us. Please go ahead.
We'll take the L. We'll take the L.
Yes, we will take it. But yesterday, Wednesday, there was basically this hearing going on. Scott's sister-in-law, Janie Peterson, who at first I was like kind of excited, but it's Scott's wife's brother, not.
Mm-hmm.
No, Scott's brother's wife. Oh my God. Let me do that again. I rewrote that wrong. Okay. So on Wednesday, which was yesterday, Scott Peterson basically got one step closer towards a new trial because a judge set a date for a new hearing that is going to determine whether there was juror misconduct in his original trial. So it's kind of like, it reminds me of the Free Britney case because it's just like hearings to set a hearing. It's like a meeting to set a meeting.
It shows you just how much, like even the law has to do all the bullshit meetings that we all have to do in our day to day.
Right. The judge is like, this hearing could have been an email. Actually, that's kind of how I feel. But I mean, I do feel like this didn't need to be a hearing. But in any case, there's going to be a hearing. And on Wednesday, Scott's sister-in-law, Janie Peterson, who is his brother's wife, did an interview with Today where she said that there's new evidence that she thinks is going to get Scott a new trial and eventually set him free. So what is this evidence? If you guys didn't watch the documentary, I think it originally came out on A&E and now it's on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's The Murder of Lacey Peterson, but honestly, just search Peterson. You'll find it. Nancy Grace is in it. It's a doozy, but it's a really interesting documentary that kind of puts forth an alternative theory of Lacey's murder. But this evidence, so if you did see that documentary, this evidence is probably not new to you. But if you didn't, here's like a quick summary. So Basically, at the trial, a neighbor testified that they saw the Peterson's dog, Mackenzie, inside the yard at 10:15 a.m. But what wasn't heard in court was that at 10:30 a.m., the mailman was at the house and didn't hear the dog, which when coupled with witnesses who say they saw a pregnant woman walking a golden retriever around that time, it kind of leads to the theory that Lacey was actually out walking the dog when the prosecution said that Scott had killed her. However, police claim that that was actually a different pregnant woman who was walking her dog that day. Then there's this issue of the burglary. So here's the thing. There is a theory that there was a burglary across the street the same day that Lacey disappeared. Although police say that the burglary happened on a different day, or at least they said that at the time, but it was kind of contested in this documentary that if the burglary had happened on a different day, there would have been too many press vans outside of the Peterson house for any burglars to get away with it. So an alternative theory is that Lacey noticed the burglary happening across the street and maybe confronted the burglars and then they killed her. Or, as Scott claims, that she was killed by an unknown assailant while out walking the dog, while he went fishing by himself.
There's all these, like, new, because it's, you're showing all the things that we kind of accepted from the documentary as just, like, the facts are now getting some more questioning and a little more diligent stuff like that.
There's just all the, there's all these theories because there was really never any evidence tying Scott to the murder. Everything was completely circumstantial. So that's kind of why there's like all this possible evidence, all these possible theories, questions about the timeline of what actually happened. A neighbor, Diane Jackson, said she saw three men in front of a van on December 24th, 2002, which was the day Lacey went missing. And the police caught those burglars who claimed they had nothing to do with the murder, but also like, I feel obviously they would say that.
No one's going to be like, oh yeah, by the way.
Right. So back during the initial trial, we all know Scott was found guilty. He was sentenced to death by lethal injection. But there was actually an update last year. Danny, do you want to run through that?
Yeah. So on August 24th of last year, the California Supreme Court kept the conviction, but they did overturn the death penalty on him, which so just kind of shows that they, no one needed that.
I think that there was a point, I could be totally wrong, but I do believe there was a point in California where they got, I thought they had gotten rid of the death penalty.
I thought so,
his
too.
Sentence got commuted or like something happened with that sentence. But then I think it got like undone.
Okay. But so, okay. So his death penalty is overturned and it was determined that the 2004 trial court erroneously dismissed prospective jurors who opposed the death penalty because the juror questionnaire did not ask jurors if their views would prevent them from following the law.
They basically would do, they do the survey and they ask them, do you oppose the death penalty? Yes, no. The people who said yes, they dismissed, but they didn't ask them like, well, are your personal beliefs going to keep you from following the law? So that was kind of the basis of that.
Yeah, I feel like a juror questionnaire, I would never get picked to be a juror.
Yeah, I didn't know that they filled out questionnaires. I thought they just kind of called people and asked them questions like on the stand.
I just know that they get interviewed because of 30 Rock when she tried to.
There we go.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. When she comes in the Star Wars costume.
Yeah. And they're like, ma'am, this is New York.
Yeah. You're going to have to try harder than that.
She's like, I don't think it's fair for me to be a juror because I can read minds. Back to this. In October 2020, the case was sent back to San Mateo County Superior Court to determine if Scott should get a new trial based on jury misconduct. But there's another avenue Scott has for an appeal. And spoiler alert, it also has to do with a juror, Rochelle Nice. Rochelle Nice will be nice.
She's not nice, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, Rochelle Nice, not that nice.
Yeah.
The juror who was very outspoken in the A&E doc, that's now on Hulu, like Sarah said. I'm pretty sure it is The Murder of Lacey Peterson. She had the red hair. She alleged in 2000 that her boyfriend's ex, quote unquote, committed acts of violence against her and instilled her with, quote unquote, fears for her unborn child. Kind of, it would lead you to think that she would not be the most fit for this trial.
Right, especially because Lacey was like 8 months pregnant.
Yeah. She also had gotten a restraining order against her boyfriend's ex, and she also said her boyfriend beat her while she was pregnant. So I feel like, if anything, this case for her would have just been very triggering.
Right. Well, also in the A&E documentary, she was really outspoken about how she did not like Scott.
I'm pretty sure she has her juror number tattooed on her, I would assume. That was not in the doc. That's just,
oh my God,
thinking some things.
Yes. What was she, number seven? Yeah.
Number seven. Yeah. It's always number seven. But during jury selection, she told the lawyer she had never been a victim of a crime or involved in a lawsuit. I don't get how they didn't check that out.
I don't know. It's like, I guess they don't have time to pull records on everyone. So they
just, you would assume no one would lie about that.
Yeah, like honor system. But now he has real grounds for an appeal.
Truly. So she says, and also her thing was, it didn't come to mind because she considered it as a dispute involving property or money. Quote unquote, I did not interpret the circumstances leading to the petition for restraining order as a crime. I still do not, she said.
I don't know. I'm just like, you might not, but I feel like the law certainly does.
Yeah. I'm like, that's like people being like, I did not think I ran through that red light. Well, you did, Tuts.
Yeah. Or when Giselle on Potomac is like, I'm sorry if what I said was offensive to you. And you're like, bitch.
I mean, it's universally offensive.
Like, I love you, but oh my God.
You have no substance. When did I say that? Just now. Yeah. So the defense said that she really wanted to be on the jury, which I also feel is a red flag.
A huge red flag.
A huge red flag.
I mean, it was like the trial of the decade, you know, if not still more dramatic than that. But I thought, and I watched this documentary like probably 2 years ago, so I truly could be misremembering, but I was under the impression that I think she was an alternate juror.
She was, I believe. Yes.
Yeah.
And also she sat for 5 months sans pay despite having 4 kids. So she had to borrow money from another juror.
Yeah. So she was real dedicated to doing her civic duty.
Yeah. So this is what the defense is saying. Quote unquote, juror seven's conduct during jury selection was so unusual that the judge commented that she stepped up and practically volunteered to serve. Ironically, Nice's attorney claims that it was actually Scott's defense attorney who pushed for her. They say he thought she'd be more liberal given her bright red hair.
Whoops. You can't judge a book by its cover.
Nope, you cannot. As told by Ginger this, yeah.
Yeah, truly.
Scott's own sister agreed with overturning the death penalty, but said he's exactly where he should be in prison.
So here's the thing, and I feel like this is a hot take. I'm genuinely torn on like if you think he did it or not, because on the one hand, there's like pretty much nothing tying him to it. But on the other hand, the way that he acted at the vigil, I just cannot get past. Well, like him calling his mistress at the vigil for his missing wife. Like, I just can't get past how, I don't know, just sociopathic that is.
Because that's a hard thing. I'm like, are you a sociopathic piece of shit? A sociopathic piece of shit who killed your wife or somewhere in between?
I don't, and either I just genuinely don't know. And I really have tried to reason my way around, like, because we always try to be like, well, you can't judge how someone would act in a traumatic moment. And that is true, but I really know that I would not act like that.
You're not going to call your mistress.
Like,
you know,
I feel like I've had more concern for missing people who I don't even know.
Yeah, exactly. And also, the thing is, I think with all this to say, there is really strong ground for a mistrial.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that I don't know that he got a fair trial. I feel like,
because that's
hard to say. I mean, at least, you know, in the media and in the public opinion, he was certainly like guilty before he was presumed guilty.
And I feel also like cases have been overturned for less than this too.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if he does get a new trial. I don't know what the outcome of that would be. I think it would be interesting without the sort of media circus around it going like he's guilty to see if people would be able to actually weigh the evidence and determine if they can determine his guilt beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right. Also, it's like, where are you going to go if you're out?
Oh, my God. He's going to go shack up with fucking Casey Anthony and OJ.
And that's going to be a reality show. Just the three of us.
Hype House.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, just the three of them and like some Netflix cameras.
Instead of because Lisa Vanderpump is overserved, his is just overturned. And it's just,
oh my God.
Okay, Oxygen. Hope you're listening. Give us Nancy, a call.
Give us a call.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Speaking of Oxygen, so there's actually a big update in the Crystal Rogers case. She disappeared. She was dating the guy Brooks Hauk. He had connections to small Kentucky town police department. Basically, like, we knew it was him, but like nobody could prove it.
Mm-hmm.
So now it hasn't been proven yet, but there's some movement. There's some updates. So remember back when we said the FBI was on the case? Yeah, well, they did not fuck around. So they have begun excavating a property in Bardstown, and their investigation, which has been going on for a year, zeroed in on a subdivision in Bardstown called Woodlawn Springs. And WLKY reports that guess who owns multiple properties in Woodlawn Springs? Yeah, we know who it's. Brooks.
Brooks. It's Brooks Hook. The hoax is up. Hoax.
The hoax is up, yeah. And once again, just as a friendly reminder, Brooks is the only person to ever be named a suspect in the case. Mm-hmm. So recently, the FBI spent about 14 hours searching this subdivision and have now apparently zeroed in. They are excavating. We do not know what they found yet, if anything, but I think we can all rest assured that moves are being made.
Mm-hmm. And I just don't want info from that grandma. I don't know.
Oh, the grandma.
Is her car? What was it? I need her to know about the car.
Oh, that grandma. I thought you meant Crystal's mom.
No. Oh, Crystal's mom. I saw an interview or a quote she gave where she just said, I hope that this is the truth, or I hope that this is it. But yeah. Brooks says grandma. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the white Buick. I know. That's big. I feel like probably by tomorrow or this weekend, they will have more updates on that one.
Yeah, I'm excited. And then I was also looking up the Delphi murders just because I decided to go full circle. I think they had found this guy who's a potential suspect who was linked to another murder of a child. And I think now there's some sort of gag order, basically, where they're just not like releasing info to the public, which I think is a good sign. Let me go to my article.
I feel it's a good sign.
Yes. So there was a man accused of trying to kill a 9-year-old, and he was linked to the Delphi murders. I don't know if I should read his name. I probably won't do that.
We don't need that.
This was a month ago. But a month ago, the investigators imposed an information blackout on possible suspects, which I don't know what that really means, but my sort of take is like they need to have a lock on the information and they need nobody else to like fuck it up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. I mean, we have some interesting updates. Who the heck knows what's going to happen with Scott Peterson? We'll find out, I think, probably next week.
Yeah. Oh, I think
so. After that hearing.
And yeah, but we'll be here to unpack it.
Yeah. And then we'll be back with some regular episodes, but we just had to do this emergency update.
And you're in for a fun doozy. We're interviewing an iconic host that I feel like most of you guys know next week as well.
Yeah. So I feel like that's that on the updates, but we do more updates on our Instagram at Not Another True Crime. Follow us there.
And we react all about it in the Facebook group, Not Another True Crime group.
Oh yes. Please answer the questions. That is my only humble request.
Yes, we're talking about if we would buy haunted houses right now. I'm all for it. Or murder houses.
Why not?
Why not?
Other than that, we'll be back next time. And we'll be back with regular eps really soon. And thank you for listening. And please rate, review, subscribe as always.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Levine and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Levine. Be sure to follow at NATC Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to natc@betches.com. Betches.